Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Crimson Key, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together.
The moment we arrived, I felt the weight of the mansion's gaze. Its towering structure loomed against the overcast sky, a testament to forgotten grandeur. The ivy strangling its walls whispered of secrets buried deep within. I tightened my coat around me as the wind bit through, a sharp reminder of how far we were from home. This place is a death trap. He slammed the car door shut, adjusting his scarf and glancing up at the mansion, his lips pressed in a hard line.
We should have sold it the moment the papers were signed.
I shot him a glance, my breath clouding the air between us. And miss the adventure? Where's your sense of curiosity?
Marianne, it's not an adventure, it's a liability. Look at this place. The roof alone will cost a fortune to fix.
And yet, here we are. I brushed past him toward the creaking front gate. I didn't wait for him to respond. It was always the same argument. Practical Daniel against my insatiable curiosity. The gate groaned as I pushed it open, its sound swallowed by the emptiness of the sprawling estate. Daniel caught up to me, his footsteps crunching against the gravel. He grabbed my arm gently, turning me to face him.
Marianne, seriously, what are we even doing here? We're not the kind of people who own mansions. We're the kind of people who barely keep up with our mortgage payments.
I sighed, pulling my arm free. Maybe we're not, but someone thought we should be. Don't you think it's worth finding out why? He shook his head but didn't argue further. Instead, he gestured toward the heavy oak doors of the mansion.
Fine. But if bats fly out when we open that door, I'm driving straight back to the city.
Deal. Inside, the air was cold and stale, carrying the faint scent of damp wood and forgotten memories. I shivered and switched on the flashlight I'd brought, its beam cutting through the gloom. The grand staircase ahead seemed to spiral into the heavens, its once polished banister now cloaked in dust.
This is straight out of a horror movie. I bet the furniture's covered in sheets, and there's a creepy painting of some ancestor staring down at us.
I turned to him, smiling despite the unease prickling my skin. Don't forget the secret passageways and the ghost in the attic. His laugh was short and humorless.
Yeah, hilarious. Let's just find a place to sleep that doesn't collapse under us.
We ventured deeper into the house, the floorboards protesting under our weight. Each room we passed told a story. A parlor with faded floral wallpaper, a dining room with a table long enough to seat 20, and finally, a library. The sight of it made me stop.
Marianne, keep moving.
But I stepped inside, my breath catching. Bookshelves lined the walls from floor to ceiling, their contents a treasure trove of forgotten knowledge. A ladder on wheels rested against one shelf, its wood worn smooth from use. But it wasn't the books that held my attention. It was the small, crimson door tucked into the corner, barely visible behind a heavy velvet curtain. What's this? I asked, more to myself than to Daniel. He followed my gaze and frowned.
Looks like a storage closet, or maybe a panic room.
I approached it, my fingers grazing the intricate carvings around its frame. It didn't have a handle, only a keyhole. Daniel, it's locked.
Of course it is. Probably for a good reason. Come on, Marianne. Let's focus on the rooms we can actually get into.
But I couldn't tear my eyes away from it. Something about the door, its color, its placement, felt deliberate. Important. Do you think Agnes knows what's behind it? I asked, finally turning to him. Daniel shrugged.
If she does, she's not going to tell us. That woman's as cryptic as they come.
I let out a soft laugh. She's your family.
By marriage. And believe me, that side of the family isn't exactly full of open books.
I made a mental note to ask Agnes about the door later. For now, we had a house to explore, and mysteries to uncover. The rest of the day passed in a blur of unpacking and half-hearted attempts at cleaning. By the time the sun dipped below the horizon, the mansion's shadows had grown long and sinister. We settled into a bedroom that felt the least oppressive, though it was hardly comforting. As I lay awake that night, staring at the cracked ceiling, I couldn't shake the image of the crimson door. Its presence lingered in my mind like an unspoken question, one I knew I couldn't leave unanswered. Daniel's soft snores beside me were the only sound in the otherwise silent house. I'd never been one to believe in fate, but as I closed my eyes, I couldn't help but feel that this house, this door, had chosen us for a reason. Whatever lay behind it was waiting, and I wasn't sure I was ready to find out what it was. The morning light streaming through the cracked windows of the mansion felt like a fragile promise, illuminating the layers of dust and decay that cloaked every surface. I woke to the sound of distant birdsong and the distinct absence of Daniel beside me. I wasn't surprised. Daniel was an early riser, and someone who preferred tackling problems head-on. He was probably somewhere muttering about loose floorboards and estimating repair costs. I wrapped myself in a sweater and ventured downstairs, finding him in the kitchen, armed with a clipboard and his characteristic frown. "Good morning, Mr. Home Inspector. Coffee?" He glanced up, his pen poised mid-note.
"Morning. I'd kill for coffee. This place doesn't even have a working kettle."
"Add it to the list," I teased, gesturing to his clipboard. "What's the damage?" He sighed, flipping a page.
"Leaky pipes, crumbling plaster, faulty wiring, the works. The good news is that the foundation's solid. The bad news? Pretty much everything else."
I poured some water into a mug and popped it into the microwave we'd brought along. "Well, I guess we're not flipping it for a quick profit. What's the plan for today?"
"I want to check the attic and see if there's any structural damage up there. You?"
I hesitated, my mind drifting back to the crimson door in the library. It had haunted my dreams all night. "I might poke around a bit, see if I can't make some sense of this place. Just don't get lost in the walls," he said with a smirk.
"Seriously, though, watch your step. This place isn't exactly OSHA compliant."
With a nod, I set off on my own, flashlight in hand. The mansion seemed to change in the daylight, less oppressive, perhaps, but no less mysterious. The library called to me like a siren, and I found myself standing before the crimson door once again. The door didn't look any less ominous in the light. If anything, its vibrant hue seemed sharper, more jarring against the muted tones of the library. I ran my fingers along its edges, feeling the intricate carvings that framed it. Why would someone lock this? And why paint it red? As if answering my thoughts, a creak from the floorboards behind me made me spin around. Agnes stood there, her sharp eyes narrowing as they settled on the door.
"Curiosity killed the cat, dear.
You know what's behind this door, don't you?" Her smile faded, replaced by something unreadable.
"Some doors are better left closed, Marianne. Take my advice. Focus on the living spaces. This house has enough problems without you digging up old ghosts."
She turned and left before I could press further, her footsteps echoing down the hall. I stared after her, the weight of her words settling heavily in the room. I spent the next few hours exploring the rest of the mansion, but my thoughts kept circling back to the crimson door. When Daniel returned from the attic, covered in dust and looking none too pleased, I decided to share what had happened. "Agnes found me in the library today."
"What was she doing here?"
"I don't know, but she seemed weird. She warned me to leave that red door alone." He frowned, wiping his hands on a rag.
"Maybe she's just trying to freak you out. You know how she is."
"Maybe. But what if there's something important behind it? Something she doesn't want us to find?"
"Like what? Old family drama?"
"Maybe. Or something worse." He sighed, shaking his head.
"Look, if it's that important to you, we'll figure it out. But let's focus on getting this place livable first, okay? One thing at a time."
Reluctantly, I agreed, though I couldn't shake the feeling that Agnes's warning wasn't just her usual cryptic nature. There was something behind that door, and it wasn't going to stay hidden forever. The air inside the mansion seemed heavier the following morning, as if the house itself had sensed my growing obsession with the crimson door. Daniel was already outside, speaking with a contractor about repairing the leaking roof. I, on the other hand, had a single objective in mind. I stood before the door, its deep red paint gleaming faintly in the dim library light. The intricate carvings seemed almost alive, their swirling patterns drawing my gaze. It felt absurd to be so fixated on a door, but something about it refused to let me go. It was as though the room beyond was calling me, whispering secrets meant only for me to uncover. I traced the carvings with my fingertips, feeling their smooth grooves beneath the thin layer of dust. "You're not just a door, are you? What are you hiding?" The question hung in the air unanswered. I searched the library for anything that might serve as a key, combing through shelves and drawers. It was only when I moved an old leather-bound book on the lowest shelf that I heard a soft click. Startled, I turned to see a small compartment sliding open at the base of the bookshelf. Inside was a key, its brass surface tarnished but unmistakably designed for the crimson door. My heart raced as I picked it up, the cool metal sending a shiver through me. "Found you." I waited until Daniel came inside to tell him about my discovery. He was brushing dirt off his jacket when I cornered him in the hallway. "I found the key to the red door." He froze, his brow furrowing.
"You're kidding. Where?"
"Hidden in the library. It's like this house is begging us to unlock it." He shook his head, exhaling sharply.
"Marianne, maybe we shouldn't. What if there's a reason it was locked in the first place?"
"What if there's a reason it's been waiting for us to open it?" His hesitation was clear, but I could see the spark of curiosity flickering in his eyes. He wasn't immune to the mystery either.
"All right, let's do it together."
The library felt colder than usual as we stood before the door. I held the key in my trembling hand, glancing at Daniel for reassurance.
"You sure about this?"
"No, but I'm not stopping now." With that, I slid the key into the lock. It turned with a satisfying click, and the door creaked open, revealing a dark room beyond. The smell hit us first, a mix of damp wood, decay, and something metallic. Daniel reached for the flashlight, his beam cutting through the gloom to reveal the contents of the room. It was small, no larger than a walk-in closet, but what it held froze us both in place. A chair sat in the center, its legs bolted to the floor. Chains dangled from the armrests and the back, rusted but unmistakable in their grim purpose. The walls were lined with faded photographs, each one depicting a face marked with anguish. But it was the diary on the small wooden table beside the chair that drew my attention. "What the hell is this?" Daniel moved closer, his flashlight shaking slightly in his hand.
This is insane. Why would someone?"
I didn't answer. Instead, I picked up the diary, its cracked leather cover rough against my fingers. I opened it to the first page, the handwriting neat and precise. "To those who find this, know that I had no choice." The words sent a chill through me, but I kept reading. The entries detailed a series of confessions, of betrayal, of torment, of a murder committed within these very walls. "It's a confession. Someone killed someone here."
"We should call the police."
"And tell them what? That we found an old diary in a creepy room? They'll laugh us out of the station." He ran a hand through his hair, his frustration evident.
"Then what do you suggest? Pretend this doesn't exist."
"No. We read the whole thing. Maybe it'll give us answers." Reluctantly, he nodded, and we spent the next hour poring over the diary. The details were horrifying, painting a picture of a family torn apart by greed and vengeance. The final entries hinted at someone still alive, someone who knew the truth and had gone to great lengths to keep it hidden. As we locked the room and retreated to the relative safety of the living room, I couldn't shake the feeling that we'd just opened Pandora's box. Daniel sat beside me, his hands clasped tightly. "Daniel, this changes everything, doesn't it?" I nodded, clutching the diary to my chest. "We're not just inheriting a house. We're inheriting its secrets too. And I don't think they'll let us go so easily." The diary felt heavier in my hands than it should have, as if the words inside carried the weight of the house's dark history. I spent most of the night reading it by the dim glow of a bedside lamp, the unease growing with each passing entry. By morning, the mansion's once distant whispers now seemed closer, like an audience waiting for the next act.
"You look like you haven't slept."
He stood in the doorway of our makeshift bedroom, his hair disheveled and his expression concerned. "I didn't. This diary, it's not just a confession. It's a story. And it's not finished." He frowned, stepping inside and crossing his arms.
"What do you mean, not finished?"
The entries stop abruptly. Whoever wrote this was afraid. They hint at someone, someone in this family who would do anything to protect their secrets.
"Including murder?"
I nodded, my fingers brushing over the diary's cracked leather cover. "Including murder. And Agnes knows more than she's letting on. I'm sure of it."
"So what do we do? Confront her? She'll just play coy like always."
"Not yet. First, we need to figure out who wrote this, and if there's more to the story."
"How? It's not like we have a family tree lying around."
I paused, an idea forming. "Actually, we might. The library is full of old records and ledgers. There has to be something that ties this diary to someone specific." Daniel sighed, rubbing the back of his neck.
"All right. But if we find another creepy locked room, I'm out."
We spent hours combing through the library. Dusty ledgers, faded photographs, and brittle letters littered the large oak table at the center of the room. The deeper we dug, the more unsettling the picture became. The Ford family's history was rife with feuds, betrayals, and power struggles. I held up an old photograph of a stern-looking man standing beside a young woman. This is them, the man from the diary and his wife. Look, I pointed to the back of the photo where someone had scrawled in ink, Edgar and Lillian, 1934.
Edgar Ford. I've seen that name before.
He rummaged through one of the ledgers and pulled out a page.
Here, Edgar Ford, listed as the owner of this house in 1935. He sold it to a cousin a few years later.
Why would he sell it so soon?
Maybe because of whatever happened in that room.
The pieces were beginning to fit together, but we were still missing the larger picture. What had Edgar done, and why had his family kept it buried for so long? Later that evening, Agnes's unexpected arrival brought the tension in the house to a boil. She appeared unannounced, her sharp eyes darting between Daniel and me as we sat in the library.
Busy little bees, aren't you?
We're just trying to learn more about the family history. Thought it might help us make sense of this place.
Her lips curved into a smile that didn't reach her eyes.
History is best left to the past, dear. Digging it up never ends well.
I stood, holding the diary in plain view. Then maybe you can explain this. Her smile faltered, and for the first time, I saw a flicker of fear cross her face.
Where did you find that?
In the Red Room. The one you warned me about. You knew what was in there, didn't you? She didn't answer immediately. Instead, she moved to the nearest chair and sat down, her hands trembling slightly as she folded them in her lap.
What do you want to know?
Everything. Who wrote it? What happened in that room?
She sighed, her gaze distant.
Edgar wrote it. He was my grandfather. That room, it was his sanctuary and his prison. He used it to punish those who crossed him, but one day he went too far.
Punish how?
He believed in justice, but his version of it was cruel. Chains, confinement, worse. Lillian begged him to stop, but he wouldn't listen. She tried to expose him, but...
She trailed off, her voice breaking. But what?
He silenced her. Forever. And then he sold the house, hoping to leave the past behind.
Daniel leaned forward, his expression dark.
And you knew all this? You let us walk into this house without telling us.
Agnes's eyes flashed.
It's not my past to atone for. But I warned you, didn't I? I told you to leave that room alone.
And now that we haven't. She stood, her frail frame seeming larger than life in the dim light.
Now you've opened a door that can never be closed. I suggest you tread carefully. This house has a long memory.
With that, she left, her words hanging in the air like a curse. Daniel and I sat in stunned silence, the diary still clutched in my hands. We had uncovered the truth about the past, but Agnes was right. Some doors, once opened, refused to stay shut. And I couldn't shake the feeling that the worst was yet to come. The mansion seemed to hold its breath the morning after Agnes's cryptic warning. Daniel and I avoided each other's gaze at breakfast, the tension between us as palpable as the thick, stale air in the dining room. The diary sat on the table between us like an uninvited guest.
We should leave.
His voice was calm but firm, breaking the silence. I looked up from my untouched plate, startled by the finality in his tone. Leave? After everything we've uncovered? We can't just walk away now.
And what do you suggest we do, Marianne? Stay here until this house drives us insane.
We have to finish this. Agnes said we've opened a door that can't be closed. If we leave now, those secrets will follow us. He sighed, running a hand through his hair.
You're letting this get to you. It's just a house. Whatever happened here is in the past.
You don't believe that any more than I do. This house is alive, Daniel. It's watching us. His jaw tightened, but he didn't argue. Instead, he stood and grabbed his coat.
I'm going into town. We need supplies.
Daniel.
We'll talk when I get back.
He left before I could respond, the door slamming behind him. I stared at the diary, its leather cover worn and cracked, and decided I couldn't wait any longer. The library felt colder than usual as I settled into one of the oversized chairs with the diary in hand. I flipped to the final entries, determined to uncover the last pieces of Edgar's story. Lillian tried to stop me. She said what I was doing would destroy us, but she didn't understand. Justice must be served, even if it comes at a cost. I traced the faded ink with my finger, my heart pounding. She betrayed me. She went to the authorities, but they didn't believe her. They never would, not against me. But I couldn't let her try again. She forced my hand. The next entry was smeared, the words barely legible, but one phrase stood out. The room will keep her silence. I dropped the diary, my chest tight. Lillian hadn't just disappeared. Edgar had silenced her in the Red Room. The truth hit me like a punch to the gut. Edgar had killed his wife to protect his twisted sense of justice. And the room, it was a tomb. Later that afternoon, Daniel returned, his arms full of groceries. I met him in the kitchen, the diary clutched to my chest. Edgar killed Lillian. He used the Red Room to hide what he did. He paused, setting the bags on the counter, his expression grim.
You're sure?
I nodded, holding the diary out to him.
So what now? Do we call the police? Tell them we found a decades-old murder confession.
They won't believe us. Not without proof.
And what proof would that be? You want to dig up the floorboards in the Red Room?
His sarcasm stung, but I refused to back down. If that's what it takes. That evening, armed with flashlights and a crowbar, we returned to the Red Room. The chains still dangled ominously from the chair, their rusted surfaces a stark reminder of the horrors that had unfolded there.
This is insane.
So was killing his wife and locking her body away. He didn't respond, instead kneeling to pry up the floorboards near the chair. The wood groaned in protest, but eventually a section gave way, revealing a dark, hollow space beneath. The smell hit us first, a sickly, sweet odor that turned my stomach. Daniel recoiled, his flashlight trembling in his hand. I leaned closer, my heart pounding, and saw what remained of Lillian Ford. Oh my God! Her skeletal remains were curled in the cramped space, fragments of a tattered dress still clinging to her bones. Beside her lay a rusted locket, its chain broken.
We have to call someone.
I nodded, unable to tear my eyes away from the grisly sight. Agnes knew. She knew this was here.
And she didn't want us to find it. Probably afraid it would drag the whole family's name through the mud.
As we backed away, the weight of what we'd uncovered settled over us. Lillian's death had been hidden for decades, but now her story was finally out. That night, as we waited for the police to arrive, I couldn't help but feel a strange sense of closure. The house no longer felt as oppressive, as if revealing its darkest secret had lifted some of its burden. Edgar's story was over, but ours wasn't. The mansion still held its shadows, its whispers. And I knew that leaving wouldn't be as simple as walking out the front door. The morning after the police left, the mansion felt impossibly quiet. It was the kind of silence that pressed against your ears, making every creak of the floorboard sound like a scream. Daniel and I sat in the kitchen, nursing cups of coffee that had long since gone cold. Neither of us had spoken since waking. The discovery of Lillian's remains should have brought us closure, but instead, it felt like opening a wound we couldn't close. The house wasn't done with us. Not yet.
We need to leave. Today.
His voice was hoarse, but the determination in it was unmistakable. I set my mug down carefully, meeting his eyes. We can't just walk away. Not now. Not when we know there's more.
More? Marianne, we just unearthed a decades-old murder. What more could there possibly be?
The diary mentioned someone else. Someone who knew what Edgar did, and went to great lengths to cover it up.
You think Agnes had something to do with it?
I don't know. But she knows more than she's letting on. We need to confront her. He shook his head, pushing back from the table.
No. We need to get out of this house before it destroys us.
Agnes arrived unannounced that afternoon, as if summoned by our conversation. She stood in the doorway, her posture stiff and her eyes colder than I'd ever seen them.
I heard you've been busy.
Her words were sharp, but her tone betrayed nothing. Daniel and I exchanged a glance before I stepped forward. You knew what we'd find, didn't you? You knew about Lillian. Her lips tightened into a thin line.
What I knew or didn't know is irrelevant. What matters is that you've stirred up things better left buried.
Don't play games with us, Agnes. You've been hiding something this whole time. It's time to come clean.
She crossed her arms, her gaze piercing.
You think you've uncovered some great secret? You have no idea what this family has endured to keep this house standing.
Then tell us. Because from where I'm standing, it looks like Edgar was a monster, and you've been complicit in hiding his crimes. For a moment, something flickered in her eyes, anger, perhaps, or sorrow. When she spoke again, her voice was softer.
Edgar wasn't the only one with blood on his hands. This family, we've always had a darkness in us. Edgar gave it form, but it's been here since the beginning. The house, it feeds on it.
Her words sent a chill down my spine.
What are you saying? That the house is alive?
She shook her head, a bitter smile playing on her lips.
Not alive. But it remembers. Keeps the sins of those who live here. And now it keeps you.
After Agnes left, we decided to do one last sweep of the mansion. If there was any truth to her cryptic warning, we needed to understand it before making a decision about leaving. In the library, I found something I hadn't noticed before, a small compartment at the back of Edgar's desk. Inside was a second key, smaller and less ornate than the one to the red room, but the same deep crimson color. Another key. But to what? Daniel joined me, his expression wary.
What did you find?
I held up the key, its red paint chipped and worn. I think it's for the basement. The basement was colder than I remembered, the air thick with mildew and something else, something metallic and sharp. We moved cautiously, the flashlight beam sweeping across the damp walls. At the far end of the room, we found a door I hadn't noticed before. Its surface was plain, unmarked, but the key fit perfectly into the lock. With a deep breath, I turned it. The room beyond was small and windowless, lit by a single flickering bulb. In the center was a pedestal, and on it lay an object that made my blood run cold. A crimson locket, identical to the one we'd found with Lillian's remains. It's hers. Lillian's. Daniel stepped closer, his face pale.
Why would it be down here? Who put it here?
Before I could answer, the door slammed shut behind us. The bulb flickered and went out, plunging us into darkness. In that moment, I understood what Agnes meant. The house didn't just remember. It kept its secrets, and its prisoners. Daniel fumbled for the flashlight, his breathing ragged.
We need to get out of here. Now.
But as the light flickered back on, it revealed something that hadn't been there before. Words scrawled on the wall in what looked like blood. Justice is eternal. We escaped the basement that night, but the house's hold on us remained. Even as we packed our bags and left, I could feel its eyes on my back, watching, waiting. Agnes's parting words echoed in my mind.
The house remembers, and so will you.
The weeks after leaving the mansion were restless. At first, we thought we could forget, that distance would sever the connection. But the nightmares started almost immediately. Daniel dreamed of chains rattling in the dark, while I woke to the phantom scent of damp wood and decay. The crimson key we had found began to haunt us in its own way. No matter where we placed it, it always seemed to reappear in plain sight. On the kitchen counter, beside the bed, even in Daniel's car. One night, unable to sleep, I retrieved the diary from the box we'd packed it in and began to read it again. There, in the faint glow of a desk lamp, I found a final line scrawled in the margin that neither of us had noticed before. You can leave the house, but the house never leaves you. We'd escaped the walls of the mansion, but its shadow followed us everywhere. And deep down, I knew the house wasn't done with us yet.